people and welcome to Nassau in the Bahamas, specifically Atlantis Resort, like Atlantis Paradise Island Casino. Kind of an overcast day, and the ocean is not heated behind me, so I will not be swimming in the ocean today. I will be taking part in the Lazy River nearby, which is heated and is a whole lot more fun. We're out on our second back-to-back cruise. This is now kind of our detox cruise from the Groove cruise that we did last week, where it was 24-hour day DJs all over the ship. This is much more calm and peaceful and relaxed. So let's go take a look at your top voted question from PollGab. The top voted question is from JRL, who asks, "What makes a good office hours question?" I think it's something that you can't get an answer from Google for, or Google or ChatGPT. Something that needs my answer specifically, not a wider answer. And something that you can phrase in a short period of space without putting in too much technical details, like, for example, an execution plan. So there you go. Short, succinct answer. Nils says, "Do you have any experience with Babelfish or similar tools migrating from SQL Server to Postgres or another database?" So me personally, no, because all I had to do was look at what it supports and what it doesn't support and go, I don't really know any clients who could make that journey. I have clients who have tried and who have hired consulting firms on their side to try and help them and haven't been able to make it work. Where it really makes sense is if you have an app that's, say, 15, 20 years old, it hasn't been maintained in the meantime, it doesn't use any fancy data types or anything that was introduced recently in the last several years in SQL Server, doesn't have extreme performance needs, but you need to get the data out of that and join it on a regular basis to other, say, Postgres applications. That's where it makes more sense. Next up, Earl Grey Hot asks, "Why does it seem that SQL Server escalates locks from row level all the way up to table level, and it seldomly escalates to page locks?" So really, when you think about lock escalation, it's when you have thousands of rows involved, and the chance that all of those rows would be together on the same pages is fairly low, especially when you think about non-clustered indexes. So if you think back to how to think like the engine, for example, how to think like the engine, we use the users table. And if I was going to modify a group of people who live in London, just to say for an example, the odds of the people who live in London having display names that are next to each other on the same page on the index by display name just doesn't make sense. It's not like everybody from London has the same name prefix. It's not like they all say London underscore Bob and London underscore Angela. So the stuff would be scattered all over every index. It makes sense to, if you're going to bother escalating, just escalate as quickly as possible, as high as possible, in order to prevent the odds that someone else is going to block you. Next up, Big Blue Couch asks, "Hey Brent, what are you seeing your clients use for ETL tools?" I don't ask a lot of questions about that. I don't do a lot of ETL work or data warehousing work myself, and so I just don't ask. Even if you asked me what they're using for an app language, like C#, Java, Python, whatever, I wouldn't even have a good consensus on that, because I'm just so razor sharp focused on the database. I can tell you, industry-wise, the tools that get the more attention these days are serverless tools, tools where you don't have to pay a per-core licensing fee that just sits around. So things like AWS Glue, Azure Data Factory. But in terms of which ones are better or more caught on, I have no freaking idea whatsoever. Next up, Margaret asks, "Hi Brent, I know you have a version of Who is Active from the First Responder Kit." No, we do not. In the First Responder Kit, there is SP Blitz Who, which has a totally different code base started from scratch. Margaret continues, have you ever gotten the added any code to get the SQL behind API cursors? Nope. As far as I know, there are very few tools in order to do that. The post I always go to is Joe Sack's post. If you search for API cursor Joe Sack, he had a post maybe 15 years ago at SQLskills.com where he talks about how to get more info on that, but that's it. Next up, NO says, I wonder if you see SQL Server and Linux often in the wild or have some experience with it. I have literally never, not once, had a client who uses SQL Server on Linux. I believe that it's out there somewhere, kind of like Fox Mulder believes that UFOs are out there somewhere. I have never seen it. I think that, I don't want to even guess, no. So the answer to your question is no. Next up, Stoic DBA says, you mentioned that you're a Stoic. As a practicing Stoic myself, would you care to explain a few things about what Stoicism means to you, books you recommend, and how Stoicism has helped you to become a better DBA? Okay, that is a whole big, huge, you got several questions inside there. I'm going to boil it down to the one thing that I think would be the most useful for people who don't understand what Stoicism is, or who are thinking about, does it make sense for me to look into that methodology? Stoicism is not a religion. It is just a way of thinking about things, about thinking about life. I'll tell you the thing that will either resonate with you or it won't. Every morning that I think about it, doesn't happen every morning, it's probably like three mornings a week. Every morning that I think about it, I like to stop and think for about 3 to 5 minutes about what's the worst thing that could happen to me today. And I like to alternate it. I like to think about different things every time that I do it in order to mix it up. And you're going to think it's death. When you first get started thinking about Stoicism, you're going to think that the worst thing that could happen to you today is you die, and that's not what it is. What it probably is something that you get diagnosed with something that would take a long time for you to die. Someone that you love might get diagnosed with something that takes a long time for them to die. Then the longer you become a Stoic, the more creative and out of the box you start to think. For example, one of my recent ones was, what if there was a technology problem that meant I couldn't make any money remotely doing technology work? What if, for example, the internet melted down? What if there was a war between Russia and China and the United States that meant that the internet got taken down and I couldn't do any work online for an extended period of time? When you think about that and you think about those, what are the worst things that could happen to you? You start to think about, okay, what would I do today in order to prepare myself to be better equipped for that? What would that look like? And the more that you do those kinds of things, those thought exercises, the more you realize that the things you would do to protect yourself are really just to live a better life, to be more clear with the people who are around you, to be more intent with your communication, with your relationships, to make sure that they understand that you love them, and be clear about any regrets that you've had, that you want to voice those and get those out of the way. But it's not like you have any control over being diagnosed with stuff, or loved ones being diagnosed with stuff, or a world war happening. It helps you understand what you have. Truly the worst things that could happen to you, you probably don't have control over. Now, there are some things that you have control over. You don't want to smoke cigarettes, for example. I don't want to use drugs because it's only going to cause negative problems to my body or to my relationships with the people around me, things like that. Although here I am drinking a margarita at 12:18. And this is not my first margarita. This is certainly not my first drink today. But that really resets when something happens to you during the day that used to stress you out. Somebody cuts me off in traffic. Who cares? Really, who cares? I can totally be cool with that. I just don't. It doesn't matter to me because it's nothing compared to the challenge of a loved one getting diagnosed with a nasty kind of cancer. If someone says something offensive to me online, who cares? I was at the Groove Cruise, this big, huge dance party on a ship. And a couple of times, you know, people, I would accidentally bump into someone else or someone else would accidentally bump into me when they were clearly several drinks deep or they were perhaps under the influence of a mind-altering substance and they would want to fight. You know, some people are just like, they want to fight at any given excuse whenever anything happens to them. And so when things like that happen, it's very easy for me to go, I am so sorry. I screwed up. I shouldn't have done that. Let me buy you a drink. And it doesn't matter whether it's my fault or them. It doesn't matter whether they're being a complete and utter jerk. Because I'm like, who cares? You know, we're all brothers and sisters here. It's easy for me to give them a hug and go, come on, I'm so sorry. This is clearly my fault. Let me buy you a drink or something to make up for it. It's not that I proactively work to make the world a better place. I'm not that quite ambitious, but that is one of the things that Stoicism means to me, is helping me understand what the big picture is, which immediately helps me react better to things that happen all around me. If that kind of perspective intrigues you, start researching Stoicism quotes or how to be a Stoic. And you'll find that it's just like how to be religious or how to be a better Catholic or whatever. There are lots of opinions and ways that you could go about doing it, but that's just one example of it. And then we'll do one more. Captain Calamity asks, for the SQL Server 2022 CU23 debacle, should shops always stay one behind the latest cumulative update instead of always installing the latest cumulative update? Here's my approach with that. When a cumulative update comes out, you should put it in your development servers right away, like as soon as practical, same day, same week. Then within, say, 2-3 weeks, you should put it on your disaster recovery servers, your quality assurance servers, let that bake for another 2-3 weeks, and then consider putting it in production. By then, other people will have ironed out any urgent problems, and you will have started to get a peek at some of the problems that are affecting your own environment. Do I think you should start that process a whole CU behind? No. The instant that a CU comes out, I would recommend putting it in dev. All right, there we go. Oh, there was one other. There's one other that I wanted to nail down that was actually quite good. Noib says, if you were about to start a new greenfield project, what would be your main reasons to stick with SQL Server compared to something less costly like Postgres? I want to say the name of the site is enterpriseready.io. enterpriseready.io, and that will give you a list of things that enterprises often look for when they're either acquiring software products or putting those products into use inside their company. Some of those Postgres and other open source databases just flat out don't do yet. So there's beautiful lists inside there at enterpriseready.io. It's totally free. It's also useful for all kinds of things like app servers and development languages, things that you have to think about, single provider sign-on, auditing, all kinds of interesting stuff, encryption. Check that out. And there, if you're developing an app that needs to be enterprise ready, and especially if you need to sell it to other people, like hosted in their environment, you may see things right away where you go, oh my God, this isn't going to work. I have to go with SQL Server because other database platforms don't support this. All right, there you go. That is a roll up on a bunch of questions there for office hours. Odds are the next time that you see me, I'll be back in my home office in Las Vegas. I am now going to go pack up and go get into a lazy river here in Atlantis, which just looks delightful. And I'm a huge fan of lazy rivers, to the point where every now and then I look on real estate sites and look for homes that have lazy rivers built in them. There's one in Las Vegas that comes up for sale every now and then that has a whole lazy river built into the house. And I go, you know what? I would just probably never leave. My fingers would be all wrinkly and pruney from just vegging out in that lazy river. I would sit there and read my emails. I would do one office hours after another from inside the comforts of my own lazy river. And the only reason that I didn't do it this trip is I didn't bring a waterproof case for my Insta360 camera or the microphone that I use. So have fun, y'all, and I will see y'all at the next office hours. Adios.